Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome back to another exciting week of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, N7 the Legend. Joining me as always is Genesis. Genesis, how's it going?
Today's been really, really good. I went to a Ren Faire earlier, then I got to talk with people about Cyberpunk. Now I'm here talking about Mass Effect, and after this, I'm headed for some karaoke.
Oh my gosh, that is a long, long day. Wow, you're going to be more tired than I am. And joining us today are our lovely patrons, because it is the end of June 2025. We're going to be discussing what TV show... what the Mass Effect TV show should be like in at least the first couple seasons, should it actually ever arrive. So a lot of this is, of course, going to be speculation. Actually, all speculation. But need I digress, we have three of our patrons here with us today. Retrobot, how are you doing?
Going good, yeah.
All right, and Andrew, good to see you again.
It's good to be here.
And Edboy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Perfect. Tired. Very, very tired. My son didn't sleep well last night, and nor did I. But let's go ahead and start this off. I think, Genesis, I'll probably like hop in toward the end of the first half with my thoughts on where I'd like the TV show to go. And then if you want to save yours for the very end.
That works for me.
So I'll go ahead and go around in a clockwise order from my screen, starting with you, Retrobot. We're here today to talk about, you know, where we would want this Mass Effect TV show to go, what should it cover, and most importantly, how should it cover it? If you were in charge, how would you direct the TV show?
See, if I was directing, I'd first want the show to be like really accessible to people who don't know the series, because I feel like they could easily just go in there, do some like big first contact war and just a bunch of like, you have to have a lot of background knowledge about that. But I figure if they're looking more to get new people invested into the series and playing the games, they do some kind of sitcom. Like I was thinking like a Parks and Rec sort of sitcom that's about like the embassies on the Citadel, like all the embassies on the Citadel that don't have a chair on the actual like council. So it'd be like the Elkar and other people like that debating stuff about parks and like minor shit on the fucking Citadel. Yeah,
that would be amazing. I never even considered making it more of a sitcom kind of feel with you know the stakes being quite low, but that would make it widely accessible. You know, a Mass Effect version of The Office, if you will.
Yeah.
All right, I want to open this up to the rest of the patrons. What do you guys think, Andrew and Edboy? Would you watch a Mass Effect version of Parks and Rec or The Office?
Yeah, I think I'd watch that. I'm just imagining like trying to place like different characters. So I'm like, who's the Ron Swanson that would pull it all together? Like, who's the person that's just like, I hate my job, I feel like it would be a Volus somehow that would just be like, I hate being here, but this is my job. Maybe it's Danny DeVolus.
What was the Volus Ambassador's name? Like Din Volak
Din,
or something?
Din Korlak, yeah.
Din Gath.
Yeah, there could be like a grand reveal at the end of the season where he takes off his armor and you get to see what a Volus with no armor looks like. And then you vomit. Anyway, Retrobot, walk me through a little bit more of the setting in which you can imagine this taking place. You know, I got it that you think it would be good to make it like a low-stakes kind of sitcom-esque thing, but tell me more about, you know, are we talking about on the Citadel? Are we talking about on Earth or one of the alien home planets or maybe in the Terminus systems?
I think it's going to be on the Citadel because the Citadel really is kind of your first jumping off point for me and all the different races in Mass Effect. So it just gives people who are just looking into the show and have never played any of the games or read any of the books an opportunity to understand, oh, this is kind of what's going on. And like, these are the kind of people that exist in this universe, whatever. So it can be like them dealing with people coming in and with complaints and stuff like, oh, this guy ripped me off on this biotic amp or whatever. Just like a lot of random complaints and stuff like that. Yeah.
Sure. Maybe that's how the guy's toaster refund finally goes through.
Yeah.
All right. Yukon, I see that you've joined us. Thank you. And how are you doing?
Doing well. Sorry. I just had to sort through bedtime, feeding the dogs, getting them outside. Everything comes to a kind of a completion at this time of day. So.
Yeah, when it rains, it pours. I totally get it. Exactly. So before we move on, Retrobot here had said that he imagines a sitcom kind of TV show because it would make the lore of the Mass Effect universe, which objectively, in my opinion, is kind of nerdy, making it widely accessible. What do you think about a Mass Effect version of like Parks and Rec or The Office?
So I was just catching like the tail end, the wrap up of that. And the first thing that came to mind was actually Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing, right? So you don't need to see previous episodes of Seinfeld for this episode to make sense. Because although they might dip into or do callbacks to other stuff, it really is just an episode specifically about that episode that day. And within the lore of Seinfeld, they even tried to create a Seinfeld sitcom inside the sitcom. So something to that effect would be approachable for anybody. And like Retrobot was saying, especially for people who aren't familiar with the lore or the characters that exist already, it doesn't really matter in a show format like that.
I would love to hear a Mass Effect themed Seinfeld-esque intro song and cutaway music. That would be amazing. All right. Well, I would love to see something along those lines. Maybe Blasto can make an appearance every now and then to be a foil. All right. Any other thoughts on the Mass Effect sitcom before we move on?
I think it definitely would have to be set in a time frame where humans have made it to the Citadel, because we kind of have to be the focus in order for it to be lore approachable. Because if we are basing it off of a Volus ambassador only, that's not a very good introduction, because we humans need at least something to relate it back to human. And having it be the human ambassador, maybe not Odina, because forget him, but like an ambassador before that, and how they are navigating being on the Citadel.
Mm. So you would still approach it with the same kind of human POV that we get through the original trilogy?
I think how a human would navigate through working with the different races on the Citadel and how many hilarious hijinks that can come up with. Yeah, I think I'd go with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there could certainly be a lot of misunderstandings with humans being still relatively new to the Citadel. A lot of faux pas, a lot of miscues. All right. Well, awesome. Love that idea, Retrobot. Andrew, I'm going to you next. What kind of TV show do you think it should be, at least for the first couple of seasons? How would you handle it if you were in charge?
So I was thinking about one of the things that seems to be really popular right now that seems to be hitting hard are sort of more like in the trenches, gritty. Like I'm thinking like Andor, for example. And I was thinking about that combined with, you know, like the original Walking Dead was like insanely popular. And so I was, you know, one of the pieces that I think we miss in the games a lot is what happens on Earth while we're flying around in Mass Effect 3. It feels like, you know, Anderson stays behind to organize this resistance, but we never really get to hear about it. So I think, you know, there's kind of this fusion of sort of a Walking Dead, right, with sort of the zombie effect that you get from the Reapers creating husks and things. But then you kind of fuse it with sort of that gritty reality of like what's actually going on. That would be really interesting to turn into a TV show, because you get to unpack, you know, some of the logistic challenges that Anderson's going to face, just finding people, talking to people, building alliances, like getting out of London, you know, what does that look like? And it would also give you the ability you could do, like, I know that it was budgetary reasons that The Walking Dead got stuck on the farm, but, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Walking Dead, you know, you could get stuck in one city for like an entire season and just see like, what is it like just day to day in a city? Or you could spend a season where it's just breakneck, like, you know, like an episode of 24, rushing from place to place, just trying to counter, you know, people being kidnapped or getting, you know, evacuations or things like that. So I was thinking about something along those lines.
Yeah, that would definitely be really heavy watching Anderson try and protect the civilians who aren't capable of fighting too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if there's small children or elderly people there. I mean, wow, that would be really devastating. I can just imagine some of the scenes ripping out your heart and stomping on them. And so that would be during Mass Effect 3. Do you think that there would be any value in even mentioning Shepard during this? Or is this kind of a way to sidestep without having to mention Shepard's choices and canonize any one of them?
Yeah, I think that's why I like the idea. I think it sidesteps it because it's not in the game. We don't know what's happening. We only get brief updates from Anderson. So it doesn't really, you're not stepping on anyone's toes unless they've written some kind of a fanfic about what's going on Earth. So I think it would give that opportunity to expand. But if you're not familiar with Mass Effect, it might also be a way to kind of be like, man, some heavy stuff's going on. Like, how did we get here? And maybe that would, you know, you'd be like, okay, I want to know how we got to this place in the first place. Like, because I think that was my biggest frustration watching The Walking Dead. Like, I wanted to know, how did it start? Right. And you get like flashbacks. So that maybe that would get people to want to play the game or to check out the lore cast or, you know, whatever it would be to figure out, like, how did we end up in this awful predicament in the first place?
That's awesome. Well, I want to open this up for anyone else to comment on this, specifically about having a gritty Mass Effect 3 timeline story of what was going on Earth. What do you guys think?
I actually thought that was a great option for what the next game might be. I can't imagine, you know, obviously as much as we would like to, I can't imagine them being able to continue another game after this game that hopefully they even get a chance to finish. So I felt like it didn't need to be a setup for another trilogy or even another two-part series. So when I was thinking of what the next game should be, I thought that was actually a great storyline for that game. So if we never get that game, I would definitely watch it as a TV series instead, for sure.
And I can imagine as this kind of TV series, it would carry with it a certain level of gravitas like Rogue One did. Where you kind of knew going into it a little bit that this wasn't going to have a happy ending.
And that's okay, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ed Boy, what did you have in mind?
That'd be interesting because I feel like we never actually see like the true horrifying extent of the Reapers. Like, we don't really see like how they turn people into husk and all that. Like, we don't really get that much of a point of view from just a regular person on the ground during a Reaper invasion.
Yeah, we get very minimal slices of it, you know, beginning of Mass Effect 1 with the dragon's teeth. Is that what they're called? Dragon's teeth, I think. So, going through the people, and then they just, you know, over time magically become robot zombie. And then we get the highly cinematic stuff at the end of Mass Effect 3 with the husks rushing Alliance troops. I wish we got more of those kind of cutscenes, honestly. But yeah, this TV series that we're talking about now would be an excellent opportunity for that. Retrobot, what did you think about this idea?
I think it's a pretty good idea. I was thinking for if he was having flashbacks, his flashbacks are probably more about kind of his shortcomings when he was more with the Alliance, like back to when he was in the running to become a Spectre, or more they focus heavily on how Anderson tried to always stay like really squared away of how he treated himself militarily before he was like, fuck it, I'm staying here. But then also at the same time, I was just thinking, as soon as you said like zombies or whatever, I was just thinking Shaun of the Dead. I was just thinking Shaun the Dead versus the Husk or whatever, just like some normal dude who's in London. And all of a sudden, he's like beating off Husk with like a cricket bat or something.
He's doing what to the Husks?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this would be another good opportunity for us to learn more about Anderson's own life that happens, that's talked about a little bit off screen. It'd be really cool to see those flashbacks with him and Sanders. Genesis, what do you think of a gritty Mass Effect 3 kind of, I don't know, not a space opera, but like, a drama?
I feel the drama for it, and I really like this idea because it brings the human level aspect to it. We also know that there probably would be other races that we could slowly get introduced to, making it approachable for new viewers, people who aren't with the lore, and making it so that way we are tied into this story. There's a draw for the masses, to be able to watch this and still feel like they can relate to it. Because, yeah, a zombie apocalypse, we've all seen a show like that, but this brings it to a completely different level with the added level of aliens and why somebody's trying to take over.
It would, I can imagine it feeling a lot like War of the Worlds, you know? Mm-hmm. War of the Worlds meets like, you know, some kind of period piece or movie about the resistance in France to the Nazi occupation. I think that would be a pretty compelling TV series. I would almost say that something like that has to be a limited series, like only like 6 or 8 episodes, you know, because otherwise it gets so drawn out and then you don't care. But yeah, all right. Any other thoughts on this, like a really gritty war drama in Mass Effect 3 on Earth? All right. Well, I have my own idea that I want to throw in here before we go to the mid-break. So my idea for a Mass Effect TV show, and this is not going to really surprise anybody, I think, is imagine we get a TV series, limited series, following Emily Wong around as she investigates corruption on the Citadel. And as she's pulling the threads that lead her to one story and one story to another story, of course, she's putting herself in danger, right? But then she's also realizing that the highest tiers of human government are corrupt. And she's finding weird connections between Cerberus and the human ambassador's office.
Ooh,
and so I think there could be a really cool way to tie in Cerberus to Udina this way, and have Emily Wong there as well. And maybe this would explain a little bit of why Emily Wong kind of falls off the map for us after Mass Effect 1.
I like this a lot, but I think we'll open it up to the other people, the patrons first, see if you guys have thoughts on this one.
I like it. That's just like a little mystery, like Frodo mystery like that. It isn't really something we've gotten before, other than like Shadow Broko.
Much of the DLCs did not contain a lot of intrigue. You know, of course, a TV series like this would not be nearly as action heavy, right? As like a war drama. And so it'd be a completely kind of different psychological drama thriller where I, of course, like the idea, but maybe, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think that this one would be a little bit too niche for wider audiences to get on board with Mass Effect? Because if they were just interested in some kind of, you know, journalist expose story, they're watching it and then they go, who's the Birdman?
Well, I think that you can't just start off with, let's go the human investigating humans and not involve the aliens around it. I think that if the story started off with, you know, introducing us to all the different species that we do see on the Citadel, and then eventually uncovering this idea of there being a secret organization working within the Citadel, because, you know, you would assume that Emily's talking to Udina quite often, and Udina could be throwing her off the trail, making her go investigate the Volus issue and a Turian issue, and then slowly she's uncovering all this stuff that leads us back to our actual hidden big bad guy. Yeah. No, I think it definitely could work out. Anybody else?
Can we put a little spin on that? Can we put Emily Wong in a fedora, a trench coat, make this a black and white noir?
There we go. Yeah, the film noir. As long as she has to adopt a transatlantic accent, right? And she's constantly smoking a freshly lit cigarette.
Make it very Nick Valentine.
Yeah, very Nick Valentine. And yeah, what is up with that in Hollywood? There's always freshly lit cigarettes, no matter how long they've been smoking in this scene. All right. Well, any other thoughts on that one before we go to the mid-break?
I was just thinking of like Space Watergate or something. Like, it'd be kind of true, like that documentary or those movies. It's like, she's got to meet someone in like some space parking garage, hidden in the shadows. It's just like
deep throat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow the numbers. They don't add up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where I got the inspiration, because I was thinking about All the President's Men and how much of an impact that had on me when I watched it and read about Woodward and Bernstein when I was younger. So anyway, that's just one idea, and I love the fact that we've had three very separate, very different ideas so far. Now, we're going to go to the mid-break, but when we come back, we get to hear from our other two patrons and you, Genesis. So, all right, here we go.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard.
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
All right, and here we are in the middle of the show where typically we would read out your 5-star reviews. We don't have any new ones this week, and I don't want to take up too much time since we are joined by our patrons here. But if you want to leave a review, you can do so on Apple or Audible and leave a 5-star review. We'll read it out here in the middle of the show. And we're also checking the comments on our most recent Spotify episode, so you can leave some comments there as well. But we have to, of course, shout out our Tier 5 patrons, Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosino, Redrobot, and Superfly 440, and Unfortunate Benefactor, and William. Thank you all for your continued support, and also the final month of our Reaper Tier patron, Commander Shrinky Shep. Thank you as well. All right, and with that, why don't we go back to the rest of the show, because I am eager to hear more about these TV show ideas.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right, and we are back. Ed Boy, what were you thinking of in terms of a TV show for Mass Effect, if and when it comes out?
Honestly, something kind of like The Expanse. Maybe have it start off, like maybe have it follow like three different characters, like Anderson and Lucid Man. I don't know, never person, but how just be about like the early days of like the of humanity entering the galaxy. So like the first contact war and the founding of Cerberus and all that.
That could be a really cool storytelling technique. It reminds me of this movie from a while ago called Vantage Point, where the entire movie was told through different people's point of view of all of it leading to the same incident. And so with that incident, obviously, you can have it be something related to the First Contact War, or perhaps when the Elusive Man does get indoctrinated after first touching the artifact through his friend Ben. That could be really cool. So, I would love to see more background on all three of them. Now, for those of us who have never seen The Expanse, we're not familiar with the setting or the format. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that's like and why or how you would want that in a Mass Effect show?
Oh man. It's been a while since I've seen it. I guess just, oh man, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I guess a lot of The Expanse reminded me of Mass Effect. So I guess that's why I bring it up.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. So it's hard sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
The Expanse. All right. So,
because I just imagine scenes like with, I forgot her name now, but like the UN cheerleader and scenes like that of like the Elusive Man or like the Human Counselor, like learning about the First Contact law and how to deal with the Turians or whatever.
That could be really cool. So this would also be another human-centric storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also be occurring outside of the original trilogy and before it, actually, so you could sidestep all of the choices that players made.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of how the story actually goes, do you want to make sure that do you want the showrunners, no matter what setting they choose, to just avoid trying to recreate the OT?
Yeah, just because, I feel like when you try to adapt a story that already exists, you have to really change a lot of it. And to be fair, like they would still be having to adapt a story that exists, but they would have a lot more freedom to work with because we don't really hear much about that period of time outside of the comics or the codex.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I want to open this up for the rest of us here. And a story in the Mass Effect universe, a la The Expanse, focusing on Anderson and the Elusive Man. What do you guys think?
I love that. I've actually been obsessed with The Expanse over the past like 2 weeks. Tom Robots actually got me into it, so thanks a lot for that, Tom. I don't have a life outside of that now, but whatever. It's basically Mars is fully settled. They're in the process of attempting to terraform Mars, and there's three separate factions. There's the UN, which are occupying and control the planet Earth. Then there's the Mars Royal Navy, who occupy and control Mars, and the Belters, who are the workers and people who live out on the asteroid belt. And the universe is mining the asteroid belt for everything from water to heavy metals to all of your basic necessities and needs and resources now come from the asteroid belt. And there's a constant struggle for power balance between those three parties. So I think that would actually translate really well to a Mass Effect themed TV show, because you have obviously the different races, the council races, especially humanity, and then other factions outside of that, like Blue Suns, Blood Pack, Cerberus. So there are the same constant struggles for like a leg up over somebody else, especially in the council races. So I do think that translates beautifully.
So it sounds like you would take it one step further, where it wouldn't just be focusing on Anderson and the elusive man, but to loop in more races, you would set it a little bit later in the lore?
Well, I mean, right off the bat, right in the first contact timeline or era that Ed Boy was referencing, you have the Turians at play already. So it's to me, it rings true to that similar humanity being like the newcomers to this versus the Turians, who are the established. So Turians would represent the Earthers in the Expanse, and the humans and humanity would represent probably closer to like the Belters, just like kind of scraping by, just happy to be here, happy to be part of the party. Whereas Cerberus is much more technologically advanced, which is equates to how the people on Mars were as well, because obviously we sent our best scientists there to try to terraform the planet. So their technology started scaling way past what Earth had at the time.
Retrobot, Andrew, what do you guys think about turning Mass Effect into an Expanse-type TV show?
I've never seen The Expanse. I haven't gotten into it yet. It's definitely on my watch list. But I was just thinking, we're talking about having like multiple viewpoints. My first thought went to like more of like a Black Mirror sort of format to the show, where maybe like it follows a different character for like every episode, or there's one character over multiple episodes. So kind of just spread out a bit more, so you can give more of the lore to people who aren't too familiar with it.
That could be cool too. A non-linear story kind of telling like that. Yeah, I might like that as well. Andrew, how do you feel? Have you ever seen The Expanse? And if not, would you still want this Mass Effect TV show to be similarly hard sci-fi space opera?
Yeah, I've not seen it. But, you know, it seems to me that this could kind of tie into what you had thrown out there as well about like unraveling conspiracies and seeing what's going on. And, you know, I feel like what's funny about conspiracies, right, is that they're a conspiracy until all of a sudden they're proven correct. And then it's like, oh, shit, like this is truth. So like the show could do some really cool things where it could play with stuff that would allow us to be like, is it true? Is it not? Depending on which faction or character you'd be following in the episode, or however they're bouncing it around. And then all of a sudden you could tie all that together, and it could be like Cerberus really is staging a coup on the Citadel, or, you know, you could do like weird stuff like that.
It was a peaceful protest, really, but go on.
So peaceful. It was the most peaceful protest on the Citadel.
Yeah, I think that would be a really cool tactic you could take to make it so that there's no omniscient narrator. The viewer themselves doesn't know what's true and what's not. And I feel like the only way you could do that is by taking a storyline that none of the players have known ever before. They might know the ultimate, you know, outcome of, like, say, the first contact war, but they don't know how you get there. Yeah, I love that as well. All right. Well, Yukon, let's go over to you. What is your idea if you were put in charge of directing this Mass Effect TV show? How would you go about it?
So I'm going to do exactly what everybody doesn't want me to do, and I'm going to one-to-one this entire trilogy over 6 seasons, I feel like. But if we're just talking about the first season or two, it's going to be a one-to-one of Mass Effect 1. We're going to start exactly where the game starts, and I feel like that's how we're going to get introduced to the Alliance. We're going to get introduced to the Turians. And then from there, the Geth and everything like that, how planets operate, what the technologies operate. We learn through the TV series the same way we learned through the game. I actually had this conversation, like I was saying earlier, a couple weeks ago, in the Discord, with Vortex, Maya Grumpy, and Hollow Wolf Us Normandy. And when we were all kicking around these ideas, what we were coming up with collectively kind of turned the tide I didn't want this TV series to come out at all in real life, but kind of like, because my thing is like, don't touch anything, like don't make anything canon like the comic books do, like the books between the chapters of the original trilogy are all canonized. But then I was thinking, just lead it off with the, hey, this isn't canon. This is just a creative representation of what the trilogy was like. No different than following along with somebody's fan fiction or us watching you stream your headcanon streams. They're not choices that everybody would make, but it's just your take on it. So then when I looked at it through that lens, I was like, that's doable. You know, like you can have choices be made in the TV series that aren't choices that every single viewer have made. You can have the star be FemShep, or you can have it be BroShep. And just because somebody doesn't play as BroShep or doesn't play as FemShep doesn't mean that that's the canon character. Reeve over Rex, Samara over Morinth, like none of these are canon choices. It's just an artistic representation of something that we have. No different than what every TV series does, especially sci-fi TV series, when they rip their subject matter from a book. Like The Expanse is a perfect example of that. It's a series of books. And in like the third or fourth episode, one of the main characters at the time gets speared to a wall by people who are of a different faction than him. In the books, that character never gets speared to the wall. It's a completely different character that gets speared to the wall. Yet it's accepted in the Expanse TV show because it was never a video game first, essentially.
Now,
you know what I mean?
I want to jump in here for a second because basically you're saying that it should be a one-to-one recreation and we shouldn't matter about whatever portion of the audience being upset that their choices were not reflected in the TV show because what we're seeing is not canon. What do the rest of you feel like, how did the rest of you feel like that would be received, even with such a disclaimer?
I feel like most people really wouldn't care, especially if it wasn't canon, because I feel like what they would do anyway would be the most popular choices just by default, even if they didn't mean to go that route, just so they have, you know, the Shepard being the hero as opposed to someone that like a Walter White, you don't know if you should root for them or not.
Right. Yeah. So much of film production is just risk averse anymore. Right. Where there's so, the costs are so high in any kind of media production, that they're just terrified to lose money. So you're probably right. They would just go with the focus group tested options, which BioWare I think has already supplied the data on. Genesis, I saw you move your eyebrows because I think you got some particular thoughts on how this would be received.
I do. While I like the idea of seeing all of my squadmate friends on TV, I don't know if I would want to see a Shepard that's not mine playing out the story that's not mine. I think that that's why we love this video game so much, is because we can personalize it and make it our own. And each playthrough to us is important, whether we're just going through to see what the options are or we're doing our own personal canons. Each one of the playthroughs that I've done have meant something different to me. And to see my friends, my squad mates, my lovers going through actions that I don't like, there are definitely decisions that it's like, are you gonna, even Mass Effect 1 with like Garrus and Dr. Hart making the decisions that I wouldn't make in that moment, it would just make things really, really off for me. But I do see the merits of saying that this is not canon. This is watching somebody else's playthrough, watching a version of it. I could see how it would work. I just don't know if it would be what everyone would want to watch, what a majority of people would want to watch.
Yeah, I think, and this is total speculation, but I think most of the people who would watch a Mass Effect TV show are people who played the games. Yeah, knowing how childish the internet can be, even with the disclaimer, there'd probably still be a lot of people upset. However, you know, to make a storyline linear, and to make it progress, you need to make choices, right?
I think if you look at it through the lens of 2025, though, right? Like, if we want to take off, like, the and I want to assure you guys, listen, this is my TV series. I'm going to do it justice, okay? This isn't, we're not putting this in the hand of Lionsgate or Sony Entertainment or anything like that, all right? We got this under control. Now, if you guys want to donate to my Kickstarter, we can get this off the ground. But if you look at it through the lens of like you were saying earlier, where everything's risk averse, at the same time, everything is engagement driven, right? So I feel like that actually puts this in a unique position where after the episode ends, the social media engagement is going to be through the roof with either people agreeing with the decision that was made or disagreeing with it. And like you mentioned, Genesis, we've all of us in this chat right now have played through the game so many times. We've all made decisions that we don't agree with as we were playing through with a character. Like you said, whether it was just to see what happens or having a different headcanon of how that Shepherd would act or, you know, what, you know, tech abilities versus biotics and things like that. So I think if this was to play out in a way, decisions that you didn't make or I didn't make, spoiler alert, it's all the decisions I made. It's my TV show. But I think it would be, I mean, obviously I'm wrong. I'm looking through this through my own lens, but I think it would be a hurdle that would be easy to get over. Because again, it's in one of your playthroughs, you've made that decision, even if it's not your headcanon. So I feel like there shouldn't be a decision that's too jaw dropping.
Either that, or you brought up the fact that there'd be a lot of social and media engagement. Let's American Idol this, you know, make one decision from each episode that is a key decision that the player would have made and put that up to social media choice. And then whatever the majority is, that's what you go with. Yeah, it changes your script a little bit, but you already know what the two options are going to be in this moment. So you can write the script going either way. And then it feels a little bit more like the players, the watchers actually had a choice and decision in it.
In a perfect world where every profile on social media was a real person, I would agree with you. But there is a growing number of bots and bot activity on social media where I feel like any poll put up on social media is inherently illegitimate.
Okay, fine. Burst my bubble.
I'm good at bursting bubbles. And so I will continue. I'm the bubble burster. All right. Any other thoughts on, UConn's idea going full steam ahead, one-to-one recreation of the original trilogy, presumably as a live action, not anime?
Correct.
I can only imagine, like, the sheer terror that we would all collectively experience as we're hurtling towards choices that we don't want to see made, like Caden or Ashley, or just those, like, you know what I'm talking about, the things you can't avoid. So, like, I can just imagine us all collect, like, getting closer to the TV, like, oh man, what's gonna happen? Like, but then I, like, also thought about it hilariously. One of the movies I enjoy the most is Clue, and so I'm imagining the end of the Mass Effect, if it ends the way that the game does, right, with your three choices or four, you know, ish, depending how you play that ending. Like, if they shot three different endings and depending where you live, you got a different one. So people are like, they picked destroy. And then someone else was like, no, they did synthesis. And it's like this whole, like, which ending did you get? But I would think it would be really hard, but also, like, really intense and engaging to sit there and, like, inch closer to just, like, am I picking Caden? Am I picking Ashley? Like, what's going to happen? And I think the thing that would be the toughest would probably be whoever plays, like, Shepard, especially, like, how do they deliver the dialogue? Like, because if it's not Mark Meer, like, how do you do the dialogue
with in order? No, like, you'd have to no really affect.
So, that's why I thought John Bernthal would probably be the best bro Shep actor.
Who would be?
John Bernthal.
Oh, okay. And for those of us who are not familiar, he plays the Punisher, correct?
Yes, he's also in The Accountant.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sure all of you have seen memes from that before. I also thought that Henry Cavill would be a great Shepherd, just because I know he's also a fan of the series and he's a huge nerd. So After having watched enough Witcher episodes, I feel like he probably gets into character pretty well.
I could definitely see Henry Cavill as a shepherd. But then again, that's not my general shepherd. And now I'm trying to think of who could play a good fem shep.
Right. I was just going to say bro shep or fem shep is going to be the first decision that the showrunners make that piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
That would alienate half the audience, but I don't know if they'd still watch anyway or not. Who knows?
Could you imagine if they just swapped back and forth between bro and fem? Like each episode without like, you'd be like so confused and they'd be like, don't worry, just go with it. It's fine. You'd be
acting like nothing happened. Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
In the middle of a romance scene, cut to black.
No, maybe I'll finally get romance scenes that don't fade to black. Yukon, I demand this of the show. We are going to have no fade to blacks.
And looks like it's going on HBO.
Yeah. HBO via way of Max, via way of Prime TV. So everybody's covered.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now we're just about to wrap up this episode. But Genesis, I want to hear your idea for how you would direct the Mass Effect TV show if and when it comes out.
So I'm thinking in the time frame between 1 and 2, where Shepard's dead. When Shepard's dead. And I'm going to set it on Omega. I want it to be a little bit of a scaled back soap opera where there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of characters that you're following around, but it's just a couple of central storylines that keep getting woven in between each other. I'm thinking like a couple human characters, and then we have Omega itself, where you can have any alien race and have them all introduced organically, and there's not conflict between them. I mean, there's natural conflicts of, you know, we're going through this soap opera together, whatever dramas you want to bring in. But I was thinking that if we have it in a war setting of the First Contact War, that's going to instantly put the bias of forget all Turians, we hate the Turians. And then you get into Mass Effect and now you have Turians on your ship. You know, if you watch the TV show and then you go and play the game, like that's what happened with Fallout. We watched the Fallout TV series and then Fallout 4 sales picked back up and skyrocketed. So that would presumably happen with Mass Effect. So I don't want to put a pre-bias of, you know, we were at war with this species already. Putting it in a space where we can all work together, I think would work a little bit better.
Omega would be a fantastic setting for a Mass Effect era themed version of Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
I like this. Yes, I can see all the families together, the Montagues and Capulets, you know, an Asari and a human, or maybe a Turian. Ooh, no, I want to make Romeo the a Krogan.
Ooh, okay. And who is Juliet?
I don't know yet. Maybe a human, but we'll see.
Okay, all right. Or Quarian. Assuming either one of those races would live through that kind of romance.
Immediately, I thought of a Vulture and an elk call.
Is Romeo the Elcor?
No, Romeo would be the Vulture.
No, Juliet's the Elcor. Amazing. All right. Wow. All right. Okay. So, what do the rest of you think about kind of a micro-contained story on Omega during the 2 years in which Shepard is dead?
I think that's a great idea that provides you with so much material, like untapped material, because nobody really knows what the universe at large, let alone the outlaw capital of outer space, was thinking or going through when the world's most famous specter was MIA, presumably dead. The power dynamic shift that must have created, or at least left the door open to, and here you have the pirate queen herself sitting atop a throne where the story takes place, navigating her way through information brokers and other means of getting things done to try to jostle her place farther up after all this happened.
It could be pretty cool to get like a Liara Easter egg too in the background. Like, you know, like it's not, the story isn't really about Liara at all, but you just see Liara in her outfit with Farron walk by in the background. You're like, that's the thing. They're on their way to get Shepard's Reins. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you could see, as Alan in chat here says, someone fucking with Arya, and then they get thrown out the window a la like DJ Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It would also be like a cool opportunity to have like Paul Grayson just as like a secondary character from the novels. Just not go into his story, but just have him be there as one of like Arya's goons.
Who could you see playing Paul Grayson? I feel like Kyle MacLachlan would be great.
I was gonna say Chris Pratt as a joke, but
Clive Owen. I could see Clive Owen doing it, being a Red Sand addict.
So one of my favorite things about the Cyberpunk Edgerunners anime was the fact that they pulled one from one of scenes in the game that you can walk around and interact with and drew them out and put them in anime format. I would love if we could actually see things or we hear the bouncer making his voice lines over and over again, you know, if we're walking into Afterlife. Exactly. Little things like that would be the Easter eggs that they could throw in for the people who know. If you know, you know.
Yeah, the mad Batarian preacher. The end is nigh. Yeah, that would be amazing.
That was actually one of the things I was thinking too, right? Like in my mind's eye for like how my series would shape up, the news alerts as you're like walking down flights of stairs and stuff like that, walking past those little odd ATM looking TVs that were always blaring news informationals at you. I figure that would be a good way to give news to the viewer in an Easter egg format of things that were happening outside, in this case outside of Omega.
That would be a really cool Easter egg system that would keep like diehard fans really glued to the screen and rewatching episodes and whatnot. All right. Well, any other thoughts on the Omega story before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I think there could be a cool moment where you could also dial in stuff about some of the background characters like Zaid, or you could have like weird stuff about like these deaths don't make sense. And that's like how you learn about Morinth, like being on Omega. So I think there could be some like cool stuff that like in the background or whatever isn't the focus. But I love the idea of just people getting thrown out of airlocks by Arya. It's just, is hilarious to me. So
yeah, maybe you also hear about a Batarian bartender who's poisoning human customers. Yeah. Retrobot, looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just have like a couple of thoughts about it being set there. I was thinking like either it'd one be like some sort of like gang drama between like the three different gangs and trying to get power, but like they can't actually get power because of the whole Arya situation. Or I was thinking some like space Breaking Bad, like some Solarian scientist or Krell finds out that they have only a few months to live, so they move to Omega and then decide I'm gonna make a more pure version of Red Sand or like Blue Sand or something like that.
Yeah, science, bitch. I see the comments here in chat that this would be a perfect setting for Archangel's story or story to lead up to Sidonis's betrayal of Garrus's crew. I think that would be kind of cool. Maybe it would just be something to mention in the background. Maybe it would be something to focus on.
Yeah, no ulterior motives here.
I almost feel like you could make it like the Star Wars Clone Wars animated series. So much that can happen on Omega. It could be just like an anthology of its own that doesn't have to go in any particular order, but it's just like just every episode, just a random day on Omega, and maybe some stories connect later on.
Yeah. All right. Genesis, any other final thoughts?
Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that we could have storylines revolving around the characters that we already know being on Omega, because that would bring Zaid, Morden, Garrus, and then I think Jacob and Miranda spent time on there. So we definitely could have a lot of characters revolving within and periphery. I don't want the main plot to be about the people that we already know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I know a lot of times we like to just have our imaginary casting calls for a Mass Effect TV show. But now that we have kind of some inklings that there is a Mass Effect TV show in production, I'm very happy to talk about our ideas for some kind of plot line. But I guess, you know, like we said last week, we throw enough darts at a board, eventually one of them's going to stick. So I think one of us is probably on to something. It'll be fun to come back and see which one it was. So, all right, let's go around the horn here. And, of course, let people know how they can get a hold of you, what you got going on. Genesis?
Yeah, I have two other shows, the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer, and the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk.
All right, and Retrobot?
I'm on the Discord by Monster Hunter. I just finished a playthrough of Tainted Grail Fall of Avalon, if anyone wants to talk about that. That's about it, really.
All right. And Andrew, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
I'm on the Discord, and I'm just busy with work and life. So that's pretty much enough on the plate without adding any crazy stuff into it.
I totally understand that. Ed Boy, how's life going? How can people get a hold of you? And what do you got going on until next time?
Good. Nothing going on. I'm always on the Discord if anyone wants to talk Mass Effect or whatever.
Right on. And Yukon?
Yukon Cornelius in the Discord. On there probably way too much, as I say every month. Always willing to talk Mass Effect. Always willing to applaud admin for eradicating bots in the Discord as well. I am knee deep in the Expanse right now. If anybody else is watching it or interested in it, definitely give it a look. And I'm currently doing my very first tech specialist centric playthrough of Mass Effect.
And how bored are you?
I learned immediately how important biotics are.
Yeah. Yeah. But as someone who always played as Vanguard, the first time I ever played a tech heavy playthrough, I was like, hey, this is what it's like to erase shields right away. This is pretty great.
Yeah, actually, always Vanguard as well, either Vanguard or Biotic primarily. I did one soldier class specific playthrough, but you still get Incinerate. It was actually Andromeda that kind of shifted my gears before this current playthrough of the original trilogy, because Andromeda is a very tech heavy game.
Yeah, it is. And it's also more fluid in its classes. So, all right. Well, I am streaming very irregularly again. Now that I've gotten some kind of time, we have some kind of idea of a schedule for my son, which is still constantly evolving because he's growing, and you know, we get one thing figured out and then that thing is gone, and then we gotta get the next thing figured out. But that's all to say, if you want to follow me on Twitch, go ahead. You can find me at N7Legend. I was streaming, what was I streaming? Oblivion, I think. I was streaming Oblivion Remastered. I'm playing a few different games right now. Subnautica Below Zero. I'm playing Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon. That one is, in my opinion, the sleeper hit of the year. And I'm also playing Civ 7, which got a lot of new updates. So that's fun. And I've been talking with my friends about playing a Baldur's Gate 3 multiplayer playthrough where we are characters of the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo. So who knows what you're going to get if you follow me on Twitch. You might get a Mass Effect stream too. I just re-downloaded that, but to be honest with you guys, I have played so many playthroughs of Mass Effect on stream now that I kind of want to be selfish and just play a playthrough just for me, where I don't have to interact with anyone else. But anyway, if anyone wants to find me on social media, if I have that account, that wherever you're looking, then it's going to be at N7Legend. And that's all we got. That's all we got for this week. I think Genesis and I are going to be huddling to see what kind of corporation news or corporation lore we can dig up for next week. All right, Spectres, until next time, we should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.